Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with today's segment of In the Green Outdoors. Although I rather enjoyed the bitter cold, which made me want to spend more time inside than outside, I'm excited to see the days we have right now that are near or above freezing. For me, the month of February is always a teaser for spring. The weather gets a bit warmer, and, well, we do start to notice increased wildlife activity all around us. And that when Valentine's Day rolls around every year, it always reminds me of Pepe Le Pew. You know, that character from the Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies series of cartoons. You probably remember him, if you're my age, depicted as a French striped skunk. And Pepe is constantly in search of love and appreciation. Unfortunately, his offensive skunk odor and his aggressive pursuit of romance typically causes other characters to flee from him in fear and or disgust. You're probably wondering why Valentine's Day makes me think of skunks. Well, like Pepe, other skunks are out looking for love on Valentine's Day too. You see, mid-February through March marks the breeding season for striped skunks in Ohio. Skunks are known to everyone by sight and by smell and by reputation. They're found in every county of the state as well as throughout the United States. Our pioneers found the striped skunk when they came to Ohio, although now skunk numbers are far greater than they were then. Striped skunks are about the size of a large house cat and are the only native skunk found in Ohio. Their name comes from the two broad white stripes that run down their back. The specific pattern of the stripes on the head, body, and tail will vary among individuals and is accompanied by a thin white stripe that runs from their nose to their forehead. Skunks are most abundant in rural areas where there are farms with fence rows, forest edges, and old fields. However, with human homes popping up in more places than ever, skunks have become increasingly common in suburban and cultivated areas. Now, skunks are omnivores, just like we are. That means that they eat both plants and animals. And over 80% of their diet is meat, as they feed on many types of bugs, frogs, small rodents, and even bird eggs. However, skunks also eat many types of berries, grains, corn, and nuts. And they are one of the honeybee's biggest predators. A skunk will scratch at the front of a hive and then eat the guard bees that come out to investigate and rely on their thick fur as protection against stings. Skunks will also eat your garbage if they find themselves in a human-inhabited area. Skunks are rarely prey themselves, as most predators prefer to stay away from their distinctive odor. One of the main threats a skunk has is a great horned owl. But other predators can include mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, foxes, badgers, and maybe even your pet dog. Striped skunks exhibit a number of fascinating behaviors. They're crepuscular, which means they're active mainly at dawn and dusk, although they're often observed as being nocturnal or active at night. During the winter, they don't really hibernate, but they go into a semi-active state. And during the breeding season, which again is mid-February to mid-April, males build fat reserves in their bodies while the females will dig and defend a maternity den, which is where they're going to raise their offspring. One male may mate with several females, but the females generally only mate with a single male. Skunk litters are born in May or early June, and the babies are hairless. After 8 days, they can begin to emit odors, and after 22 days, their eyes finally open. After 8 weeks of nursing, their mothers teach them how to hunt. The fathers have no role in raising their young. It's the mothers who defend them and teach them to obtain food. And mothers have actually been observed teaching their young to scratch at hives to lure out honeybees. Striped skunks have a very high mortality rate. Most do not survive their first year. The most common cause of death for a skunk is severe weather or infectious disease. Unfortunately, skunks are prone to that. However, the ones that do survive can live up to 7 years in the wild and 10 in captivity. Their greatest defense is their noxious spray and the ability to spray up to 6 feet. That spray, or as some call it, musk, has been known to cause nausea, pain, and even temporary blindness. But contrary to popular belief, skunks really don't spray frequently. They mostly spray when startled. But if they see a potential threat, they will display various types of warning behaviors. And these might be stamping their feet, raising up on their hind legs, but they generally only spray as a last resort. Despite their negative reputation, these critters play an important part in the ecosystem. And they're very important for insect control in many areas, simply because they eat so many of them. If you're not comfortable sharing the landscape with a skunk, there are ways you can discourage them. When possible, the best option for you and the animal is to eliminate the skunk's access to food and places to shelter. If a family of skunks is calling your home their own, you may consider attempting to drive them out before calling animal control services. According to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, this can be done by placing an ammonia-soaked cloth in the den and, after ensuring that all animals have exited, permanently sealing off all points of entry. Skunk dens are often hard to access, and a number of extraction techniques may be required. Killing or capturing the adult likely won't solve the problem, since the babies could still be hiding in an inaccessible area under a building. Signs of digging and burrowing are the most common way to locate a skunk den. If a skunk sprays under your house, well, that odor can easily find its way in and it won't dissipate for quite a while. If a skunk becomes a nuisance, you find the options presented to you by local animal or pest removal services to be less than ideal. There are a set of Ohio laws that regulate the removal of nuisance animals from a private property. And because skunks, along with opossums, raccoons, coyotes, foxes, and beavers, present a high potential risk for rabies, the Ohio Administrative Code mandates that animals trapped on private property cannot be relocated and must instead be released on the same property or euthanized. Despite their bad reputation, striped skunks are actually low-key, low-maintenance neighbors. I do suggest that you keep an eye out for skunks on the road within the next few weeks, and also keep an eye on your dog, your garbage, and your chickens if you have them. And if you happen to go out on a night safari in your neighborhood, please make sure that everyone has a flashlight, because nobody wants to be surprised at night, especially a skunk who's just looking for love. As always, if you have any questions on this broadcast, you may call me at 419-688-9800 or email me at gale@nativesandharmony.com. That's G-A-L-E @nativesandharmony.com. This is Gail Martin signing off for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.